All right, you can have a seat. We are so glad that you're with us today. Those of you who are in the blue seats, those that are watching online, you're very much a part of this congregation. We're so glad to have you with us today. A lot of stuff that's going on this Advent season. We want you to be aware of it, so take a look at this.
Hey, Fairfax, welcome. We are so glad you are here this weekend. If this is your first time joining us, we would love to connect with you either online or at our welcome table after service out front. If you would like to get connected and join groups, although they're winding down, still reach out to fairfax.cc/groups and we'll find the right group for you, as the groups are always accepting new members. If you are looking for a way to serve this Christmas, this is the month of gratitude. Keep an eye on Venmo. We will have new service opportunities popping up every single week. We are so excited for the Carols of Fairfax event coming up on the 2nd. If you've registered ahead and think you might not be able to make it, please let us know so we can update our registration to allow more families to join the event. If you're not able to make it, tune in online. There will be a special event just for you at home. Fairfax, it never ceases to amaze us how generous you are. Thank you so much for all of your donations to help just make Thanksgiving so special for families that are in need. What an awesome opportunity we had last week to go distribute all the food that you so graciously gave. Check out this video.
Bueno, trabajamos con una comunidad muy trabajadora, pero quizás una de las más vulnerables de esta sociedad. Entonces, tratamos de traer un poco de paz y un poco de entendimiento y hacerles saber lo importante que somos en este país. Empezamos a hacer esto hace 14 años y como yo lo entendí de que esto era a largo plazo, pues empecé a caminar despacio, a conocer, a identificar las capacidades de mucha gente que está aquí entre nosotros, muchos profesionales, tu razón de ser y lo que sabes es importante para nosotros. Así que el liderazgo de mujeres y hombres en este lugar ha sido lo que pues, se nos ha hecho crecer. Bueno, yo creo en las gentes. Es cierto, habrá gente con rabia, habrá gente frustrada, habrá gente triste, pero solamente es la coraza. Dentro de su corazón hay una ansiedad, hay una sed de amor. Y caramba, el único que puede dar amor es el corazón. Mi sueño es que encontremos paz. La necesidad más fuerte que tenemos es el amor y la paz. Y es lo que quiero ver, es que quiero ver que hay esperanza y que entendamos que si no somos nosotros, nuestro esfuerzo no es solamente por nosotros, sino es por los que vienen atrás. Puedes ver cantidad de niños, pues es por ellos, por nuestros hijos, por esos niños que quizás tengan lo que yo no tuve y bueno, sería una vergüenza que no le deje algo de paz a esos que vienen de atrás para poder vivir algo bien.
Yeah, 200 families that you helped to provide a really awesome Thanksgiving for. So thank you, thank you, thank you for that. So many people were impacted, kids, people of all ages. It was just really, really cool to be a part of that, and thank you for your generosity. It was also very cool to have Camille Melke with us here last week. If you missed that message, you need to go to wherever we do, wherever you get your podcasts, or go to our archive sermons and check it out. It was an absolutely incredible message. And if you would like to give, we talked about the fact that we're helping to expand their ministry center that's in the south of Lebanon, which is what houses the church that they have started, where God is just working and people are coming to Jesus and being baptized. If you want to give to help expand that, we really want to make a difference and make that happen. Just go online and you can be a part of doing that. So we're starting a new series this week, and it's called Grateful. So we've just come through the Thanksgiving holiday, right? And that's the time when, as a culture, we're supposed to pause and give thanks for the things that we are grateful for. And maybe you did that. Maybe that's part of your liturgy when you gathered around the table, you went around the circle and said, okay, everyone share something that you're thankful for. Or maybe you texted someone or you called someone, maybe a friend, maybe a relative, maybe someone who's impacted your life and told them how much you were grateful for them. Maybe there's some other things that you did. Maybe you even spent a little extra time in prayer telling God what you're thankful for. And all of that is good. But for some of us, maybe for most of us, 2020 isn't a year that has caused most of us to be overwhelmingly filled with gratitude. And that's because at many levels, 2020 has been an awful year. Okay, it sucked. It's just been an awful year. A worldwide pandemic, quarantines, economic struggles, social unrest, online everything. Online school, online worship, online small groups, online staff meetings, online graduations, online birthday parties. Some of you may have even had an online Thanksgiving. It's just like been online everything. I'm so tired of Zoom calls. I'm so tired of online everything, except for those who are watching online right now. I am so thankful for you, okay? Because online's awesome, all right? For you, right now, in this moment. But I know even for those of you watching online, like you're ready to get back. Now, there's a few things that have, like, there's been a few side benefits, right? Being able to stay in your PJs all day has been nice. Just throw on a shirt for a meeting, you know, business on the top, party on the bottom, and like that's the way we've kind of rolled over the last few months. Being able to eat anything you want because you're in your PJs all day has been kind of nice until you have to put on normal clothes again. If you have kids at home, spending a little more time with your kids has been nice until it wasn't nice, until it was annoying, all right? Being able to watch every Netflix original that has ever been made has been nice until you're in the third season of The Crown and you realize you've watched it four times. Wearing a mask at church has been nice. I know it's a pain, and I know you're ready not to do it, but for some of you, it's been nice because, one, no one knows if you're singing. No one knows if you're smiling. No one even knows if you've brushed your teeth. Like, it just doesn't matter. Throw on the mask, and you come in. For introverts, social distancing has been nice. In fact, I've talked to some introverts who have said, I was created for this moment. Like, I was created for this year. You have loved it. You've been waiting for this. No uncomfortable greeting times at church. Like, some of you are so thankful that we don't have this moment where you say, hey, find someone around you and say hi. And you're saying, this is what heaven's going to be like. No greeting experiences. No hugging. You can avoid people, and it's considered the loving thing to do. Like, it's not inappropriate at all. It's like the loving thing to avoid folks around. People can start to come close. It's like, no, 6 feet. You got to stay away. But for the most part, most of us we're just ready. We're ready to be done with 2020. We're ready to move on to a new year. Over and over again, I've heard people say, I am so ready for 2020 to be over. I'm so ready to move into a new year. I am so done with this. I have said that. You have probably said that. In fact, some people have called 2020 the lost year or the forgotten year. And I actually didn't realize how much that perspective had crept into my own way of thinking. I thought I had kind of stayed in the moment, stayed connected, been focused on what God is doing, but I realized recently that kind of, I'm so done with 2020, I'm so ready to move on, 2020's been awful, I'm ready for a new year, had kind of snuck into my way of thinking as well. And I realized that a few weeks ago when I was talking to a couple of staff members, and I was just talking about some stuff that was going on in our life, the Stafford's life, and I was talking about the fact that our son Zach, who has been in law school and finished law school that Zach just passed the bar and is now official as a lawyer. And I just got to tell you, this is the kid that, I've told some of you this before, this is the kid that when our daughter Cora graduated high school and was walking across the stage at Fairfax High School, and we were standing and clapping, that Zach, who was in seventh grade, looked over at Donna and I and said, "I hope you're not expecting this from all of your kids." Graduation from high school. That's the kid that now has graduated law school, passed the bar, and I just said, man, it's just so awesome. It's been incredible that that has happened. And then I was talking about the fact that Donna, my wife, you know, recently had surgery and you know, it was considered, I don't know that there is minor surgery, it all seems major to me, but considered minor surgery, but came through it doing well, recovery going great, all of that. It was just like, ah, it's so awesome what's happening. And then I was talking about the fact that we found out, you know, not too long ago that Zach and Heidi, our son and our daughter-in-law, are having another child, a little girl. It will be our seventh grandchild. And so I was talking about that and talking about some other things that were going on that were pretty cool. And then I said something that I could not believe was coming out of my mouth. It was something I had not said all year. It was something that if I had stopped, I think, and pondered what I was about to say, I maybe wouldn't have said it, or I would have come up with some excuse why not to say it, or I would have said it in some different way. But it just came out. I just blurted it out. And what I said was, 2020 has been an awesome, awesome year. And at first, as soon as it came out of my mouth, it felt so weird to say it. Because 2020 has been awful. It's been an awful year, not an awesome year. But then I just kept saying it. 2020 has been an awesome year. 2020 has been an awesome year. And the more I said it, the more things came to mind that made this year so awesome. Every day since March, I've shared this with some of you before. Every day since March, I've been praying for two things for our church. I've been praying for protection in the midst of this worldwide pandemic, and I've been praying for God's provision in the midst of this pandemic. God's protection and God's provision. And week after week, over the last 7, 8 months, we've just experienced as a church God's protection and God's provision. We've just seen this miraculous, awesome stuff happening week after week. And then in June, as we were contemplating meeting in person again, which, as you know, a lot of people had very different thoughts on that and very strong opinions on that. And we did some surveys and some polls with folks and got very different views on all of that. And we were trying to make that decision. And then we were also in the midst of, as a culture, we were dealing with issues about this rising tide of social unrest over racial injustice in our country. And in the midst of all of that in June, I added this third element to my prayer for our church. And I prayed it every day. God, I pray for protection. I pray for provision. And I pray for unity. I pray that these decisions that we're about to make in terms of coming back and whether we'll be online or in person or how we'll do that and we'll do both and all of that, I pray that it won't like divide our church. And in the midst of all the social unrest and the political angst that's been going on, I just kept praying, God, I just pray that this will not divide our church. And we have experienced an amazing unity during this time. And it doesn't mean that everyone thinks the same thing. It doesn't mean that everyone thinks about all of these issues in exactly the same way. But even in the midst of all of that thought, diversity of thought, there has been this amazing unity in our church. And then my prayer over all of this was that God's kingdom would come in Fairfax as it is in heaven. We started right before we went into this pandemic. We did this whole series on the Lord's Prayer and the part of the prayer that says, God, your kingdom come, your will be done right here as it is in heaven. And we have just seen that over and over again, these little acts of kindness towards those who are hurting. We've seen the kingdom of God lived out in an outpouring of generosity and hundreds of people who have come to faith in Jesus Christ, in an invitational spirit that causes people, even in the midst of this pandemic, to just keep inviting folks, whether it's online, whether it's in person, just to keep inviting folks into community and into the kingdom. And 2020 has actually been a pretty awesome year for our culture as well. We've experienced a tsunami of superheroes. That's the way I've been thinking about it, a tsunami of superheroes that has swept across our country, all cleverly disguised as doctors and nurses and teachers and counselors and providers of essential services who have run toward the messiness that we've been experiencing in 2020 rather than running away from it. And 2020 is the year that some of the smartest people on the planet, some of the smartest people on the planet use the gifts that God has given them to come up with multiple vaccines for a deadly global virus in a time frame that no one would have even imagined even 12 months ago. It was absolutely historic. They accomplished in a matter of months what has taken years and years and years in the past to accomplish. And the list just goes on and on. 2020 has indeed been an awesome year. Now, the fact that 2020 has been an awesome year does not minimize its awfulness. It doesn't minimize the losses that people have experienced. It doesn't minimize the physical struggles that folks have gone through. It doesn't minimize the financial struggles that folks have gone through and many of you are going through. It doesn't minimize the depression that people have dealt with, the loneliness that people have dealt with. It doesn't minimize any of that. What it does do is remind us that awfulness and awesomeness are not mutually exclusive. That this side of heaven, in this broken, sinful world that we live in, this side of heaven, awfulness and awesomeness coexist. And we see that in our own personal journeys. 2007, and some of you journeyed with us through that year. 2007 is the year that Don and I often refer to as the year of death in our family. In 2007, we lost four major members of our family in 6 weeks. Think about that. Four major members of our family in 6 weeks. In a period of 6 weeks, my dad died, Donna's dad died, my son-in-law Ted, his dad died. And my Aunt Audrey died. My Aunt Audrey, who became a kind of surrogate mother for me because my mom had passed away a number of years before. All of those deaths, all four of those deaths in 6 weeks. And then 6 months later, my brother Gil, who is probably the reason that I'm in ministry, who along with my dad have influenced me in terms of so many things, and I just always idolized him. 17 years older than me, he was almost like a surrogate father to me as well. 6 months after all four of those individuals died, my brother Gil died of cancer, bladder cancer, like the most unusual thing. Usually that's for people who, you know, have smoked or there's some high risk. None of that, never smoked in his life. Died of bladder cancer. It was a devastating year. It was a year where I found it hard at times just to breathe, just to put one foot in front of the other. Some of you have experienced years like that, I'm sure, as well. That was 2007. But you know what also happened in 2007? In 2007, my wife, Donna, was healed of cancer in 2007. And it's been 13 years now, and still no cancer for my wife. Can we just celebrate that today? My wife was healed of cancer. So 2007 was a year of death, but it was also a year of life. 2007 was an awful year, but it was also an awesome year. 2007 was the worst year of our lives, but it was also the best year of our lives. And that's the way life is this side of heaven. That's the way life is in this broken, sinful world. It's awful and it's awesome all at the same time. And even if you manage to go through a year where it seems like everything is going your way, everything is falling your way, everything that you hoped would happen is happening, even if you manage to go through a year like that, you can be certain there is someone you know, someone you care about, who is going through a year that is not as awesome as yours. That's just the way life is, this side of heaven. So what do you do in a world that is awful and awesome at the same time? What do you do in a world where we experience agonizing defeat and glorious victories all at the same time? What do you do in a world where we are surrounded by the despair of death and the hope of new life all at the same time? Well, we do what the psalmist David did. We do what we talked about back in February before we headed into this pandemic. We lament the awfulness and we give praise for the awesomeness. Like, that is the way that the Psalms are constructed. The Psalms are these incredible prayers where there's all of this lament that is going on for the awfulness in life, the brokenness, the despair, the injustice, the oppression, the things that are wrong and need to be made right. There's all of these laments over all of the awfulness in life. But at the same time, in the Psalms, in the very same Psalms, and sometimes in the very same chapter, that there is all of this lament, there is all of this praise for the awesomeness of God and the awesomeness of what God is doing. And you hear that rhythm of lament and thanksgiving, lament and thanksgiving throughout the Psalms. But the one I want to share with you today is this. It's from Psalm 30. And this is what it says. O Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. Even there is a lament and a thanksgiving. I was sick, I was broken. That's the lament. And you healed me, that's the praise. Oh Lord, you brought me up from the grave, that's the lament. You spared me from going down in the pit is the lament. Sing to the Lord, you saints, his praise. Praise his holy name. Weeping may remain for a night. I love this part of this chapter. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and you clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. I love the raw emotion and honesty in all of the psalmist's prayers. Like, he doesn't try to hide his pain. He doesn't try to pretend that he's not hurting. He doesn't try to put on a brave smile and pretend that everything is okay. You know, no, none of that. He's honest about the awful stuff that's going on in his life. He says, I'm in the pit. I'm in the pit here. I'm crying my eyes out here. I'm in so much pain. I'm screaming out loud. I'm in so much pain. I've clothed myself in sackcloth. You know, in essence, what he's saying when he's saying, I've clothed myself in sackcloth, he's saying, I haven't changed my clothes or taken a shower in days. Like, that's how awful it is what I'm going through. That's how much I'm hurting. That's pretty honest stuff. The psalmist doesn't try to smooth over that. He doesn't try to put on a brave smile, pretend like everything. He's just like raw and honest about his pain. But here's the thing. The psalmist doesn't let the pain blind him to the awesome things that God is doing. He doesn't let the awfulness drown out the awesomeness. He says, God, you turn my weeping into rejoicing. You turned my wailing into dancing. You turned the darkness of the night that I was experiencing into the morning light. Like, you did all of that. Think about this. The thing about pain is that pain is loud. I think that's the best way to describe it. Pain is loud. It's so loud that it can drown out everything else in your life. And it's certainly so loud that it can drown out all of the awesome things that God is doing. You just don't hear it. You don't see it. You just miss all of that. I've shared with you before that I think God was preparing me for this pandemic by reshaping and reordering my prayer life back in February of this year. Before we knew what was coming down, you know, in the next month or so, I did this series on Psalms, and then God began to kind of rework my prayer life and the liturgy of my prayer life, and it began to follow the pattern of the Psalms. And so every day, even before we moved into this pandemic, the pattern of my prayer life in the morning is that I have started with lament. God, here's what's broken. Here's what needs fixing. Here is what's not right. Here is what is unjust. Here is what is sick. Here are the persons that are going through brokenness. Here are the persons that are facing illnesses. Here are the persons that are facing struggles in their relationships and struggles in their marriages. Here is the lament. And God, I pray that you will come and do something, that you will come and intervene. And then after all of those laments, then there is this time every morning of just praise and thanksgiving, where I just go down through and rehearse all of the things that I'm thankful for, all of the awesome stuff that God is doing, the awesome stuff that God is doing in your lives, the awesome stuff that God is doing in our church as a whole, the awesome stuff that God is doing in the world, the awesome stuff that God is doing in my own life personally, the awesome stuff that God is doing in my kids' life, just all of the awesome stuff that God is doing. And from February until now, and I think that's been kind of what has gotten me through, there's been this rhythm of lament and thanksgiving, lament and thanksgiving. And I would encourage you, it's been a good discipline, I would recommend that you find some way, whatever your rhythm is in terms of prayer life, that you'd find some way to include laments and praise in your prayer life every day. But here's the deal, even with that daily discipline, I miss some stuff. Even with that daily discipline, there were things that God was doing that I just didn't realize how amazing it was and how awesome it was. Just stuff that I missed. And I think that the reason is because the awful stuff in our life, it just grabs our attention more than the awesome stuff does. Sometimes the awful stuff is all that we can think about. Sometimes the awful stuff is all that we can see. Sometimes the awful stuff is all that we talk about. And every conversation that we have with someone else is primarily about the awful stuff. Whether it's the awful stuff in our relationships or the awful stuff in our job or the awful stuff in our school or the awful stuff in our finance or whatever it is, like the awful stuff just oftentimes drowns out all of the awesome stuff. And that's why we have to be so intentional about giving thanks, because a spirit of gratitude is the only thing that keeps you from being enslaved by the difficult circumstances of life. And that's why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, give thanks in all circumstances. In all circumstances, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Now notice that Paul doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances. There's a lot of circumstances that we should not give God thanks for. They are awful. They are evil. They are not the way God created this world to be. But give thanks in all circumstances. You know what that assumes? That assumes that in every circumstance, no matter how awful it is, there is something awesome that is going on that you can give thanks for. In every circumstance, no matter how awful it is, there is something awesome that is going on that you can give thanks for, which means that the only way you can live a life of gratitude is to go in search of the awesome. That's what it means to live a life of gratitude. It is to go in search of the awesome, because it will not hit you in the face, because the awesome doesn't grab your attention like the awful does. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't lament the awful. The psalmist lamented the awful. It just means that just like the psalmist, you cannot get stuck there. You have to move past the awful and go in search of the awesome. So let me just end with these questions. What has been awesome in your life about 2020? Like, you know what's been awful. You've been talking about what's been awful. You've been hit every time you turn on the TV, every time you fire up your computer, every time you look at your phone. You've been hit with what's awful about 2020. You don't have to go searching about what's been awful about 2020, but what has been awesome about 2020 in your life? Focus on that and give God thanks. What has been awesome about your job? What's awesome about your job? You know what's awful about your job. You complain about it all the time. You tell other people about it all the time. Like, you know what's awful about your job. You don't have to go searching for it. You don't have to go looking for it. You know what it is. It's right there in front of you. But what's awesome about your job? Focus on that and give God thanks for it. What's awesome about the place that you live? What's awesome about your apartment, your room, your house? What's awesome? Like, you know what's awful about it. You know what's not so awesome about it. Whether it's maybe a little small, or maybe there's some things that are a little outdated and you'd sure like to have something a little bit more modern, or maybe it's because the roof needs to be repaired, or there's other stuff that needs to be done, and there's this list of things that need to, like, you know the things that are not so awesome about the place that you live, but what's awesome about it? Here, so just full disclosure, I'm writing this sermon this week, and I'm in my study at home, and Donna, you know, comes into the office, and she goes, "You need to come and see this." That's never a good statement. You need to come and see this. And I go downstairs. There's a guy downstairs that, you know, works on houses and stuff. And we've had a little leak downstairs in our basement. And we're trying to figure out, like, what that is. And so I walk downstairs, and Donna turns to the guy and says, "Tell him what you just told me." And he says, "Well, you know, you got some structural problems in your foundation here, and you got a crack that's formed and all of that." And I said, "Oh, okay," you know. It didn't sound, you know, like terrible. And I said, "So what does that cost?" "It's like $1 million, okay?" I guess not $1 million, but it sounded like $1 million to me, like, in that moment. And it was just like, "You're kidding me. Like, you're kidding me." He goes, "No, that's like that's what you need to do." So we talked about it, and we're, you know, thinking about it and praying and thinking about maybe getting a boat and just putting it down in the basement and that being, like, the way to do it, you know, or pretending it's Venice or whatever, you know, just. But then think about this. So I'm writing this sermon, and then I go downstairs, and I'm writing this sermon about, you know, awesome, not awful, focus on the awesome, not awful. I go downstairs, I hear that, and then I walk back into my office, sit down, and it's like, I don't want to preach this sermon. Like, I don't want to say this because I don't feel that way right now. And it was like, that was the moment, you know, where God is saying, no, no, no. You know, focus on the awesome. You know, I just think about the provision of our house and raising our kids there. We've been there 22 years. The number of people that God has allowed us to serve and to minister to in that house has been absolutely amazing. And God's Spirit is just saying, Rod, you know, practice what you preach here. Focus on the awesome. And give me thanks for it. What's awesome about your marriage? You know the things that are not so awesome. You think about them probably a lot. Maybe you talk about them. You know the things that are not so awesome. But what's awesome about your marriage? What's awesome about your spouse? What's awesome about your husband? What's awesome about your wife? You know the things that are not so awesome. You think about those, but what's awesome? Focus on that and give God thanks. Go in search of the awesome. Those of you whose parents are still around, what's awesome about your parents? I know they probably weren't perfect. I know they had their own stuff that they dealt with and impacted you perhaps in some way and maybe continues to impact you in some way. But what's awesome about your parents? Focus on that. Those of you who are parents, what's awesome about your 16-year-old daughter or your 16-year-old son? I know there's some things that are not so awesome probably at this stage of life, but what's awesome about them? Focus on that and give God thanks. That's what it means to live a life of gratitude. You have to go in search of the awesome. It just won't hit you in the face. The awful will, but the awesome won't. You have to go in search of the awesome and give God thanks. In all circumstances, Paul says, in all circumstances, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God, we give thanks today. Just the fact that we are here, just the fact that in spite of our brokenness and in spite of our failures and in spite of the unwise decisions that we've made and in some ways maybe continue to make, you just keep pursuing us, keep coming after us. And we're so thankful for that. There's so many things that you are doing. So many things for us to give thanks for. So many things for us to be grateful for. Lord, we pray that we will not be blinded by the pain in our lives. That the pain will not drown out the amazing things that you are doing. And may we focus on that. May we not be enslaved by the circumstances of life. May we be set free from that. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's stand together.